Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Secret is Prayer podcast. And today we will be going over John 6, chapter 6 and 7. Lauren, do you want to go ahead and get us started in prayer?
Yes. Lord, thank you for this time you've given to us to open your word and discover who you are. Thank you that you don't leave us in the dark about who you are and what you are doing in the world, but that you have revealed yourself and your will through the Bible, your sacred words to us. Lord, we need wisdom as we read your word. You promise us that we only have to ask for wisdom to receive it. Lord, please give us your wisdom now as we approach your word. Help us discern the truth of this text. Help us not rely on our own understanding. Thank you, God, for the clarity, encouragement, and hope your word brings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Okay, so chapter 6, like all these chapters are just so great, and there's just so much in them. So we're going to, we left off last time on the witnesses to Jesus and about John the Baptist, and now we're talking about more signs in chapter 6, and it kicks off with the feeding of the 5,000, and this is the fourth sign. So after this, Jesus crossed the Sea of Galilee. A huge crowd was following him because they saw the signs that he was performing by healing the sick. Jesus went up a mountain and sat down there with his disciples. Now the Passover, a Jewish festival, was near. So when Jesus looked up and noticed a huge crowd coming towards him, he asked Philip, "Where will we buy bread so that these people can eat?" He asked this to test him, for he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread wouldn't be enough for each of them to have a little. So, and this one, you know, I think most of us are familiar with the feeding of the 5,000, because you have the huge crowd and they're listening to Jesus preach. And then, you know, they're tired and you know, it's during the day. And so Jesus wants to feed them. But it's interesting how he asks Philip, you know, how he thinks that they will feed the 5,000. But Philip responds with the answer, 200 denarii, money. And I was thinking, what a worldly or earthly answer. You right. know, and we talk about how, and we were just talking about this, how we, you know, we think in earthly and worldly solutions. And here, you know, Jesus is teaching them. He's using this to teach them. And I don't, he even says, or it even says in the scripture where he asked Philip that question to test him, because we all do that. We all right away try and figure it out ourselves, and we're thinking about earthly solutions. And when you accept Jesus and when you bring your problems to Jesus, he's not going to do it in an earthly solution. It's going to be in a divine solution. It's not going to be in how we imagine it to be.
That's right.
And so and again, he does, you know, then they point out that there's a little boy with a few fish and a few loaves. And so then Jesus, with that, you know, again, how we were saying that all he needs is a little, that he takes the little that we have and he does something great with it. And here is, you know, the story where he does exactly that. And he does that in our lives too. Like, it's when we're at, you know, when we don't have anything, or we feel that we don't have anything, and we see no solution, you know, and there's no way. And here Jesus takes what little we do have left and blesses it abundantly. And he's able to do something great and big with it. And through that, he's able to create a sign for others to see. Because I read recently too, how it was a prayer of asking Jesus to bless us so that others may know him. So when you walk righteously with God and he blesses you and you're being obedient, he blesses you is so that others may know him through us, and it's through those blessings. So the fifth sign, walking on water. When evening came, his disciples went down to the sea, got into a boat, and started across the sea to Capernaum. Darkness had already set in, but Jesus had not yet come to them. A high wind arose, and the sea began to churn. After they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea. He was coming near the boat, and they were afraid. So again in here, you know, Jesus walks on the water. So Jesus sends them across the Sea of Galilee by themselves. And, you know, this is where they would fish. So they had gone across the sea a bunch of times. And remember, they were all fishermen. So they were very familiar with the sea. And then the wind started to pick up, and the scripture states it was dark. So it's nighttime. So I can only imagine how scary it was to see something walking towards you in the sea, you know, in total darkness. But as soon as I saw that it was, you know, that the words that it was dark, isn't it like that for us? You know, when we're in the dark and everything seems dark around us, and that we see, you know, and we're afraid. And so then we're looking for Jesus, you know, but sometimes we're so afraid that we don't even want to look up to see him, you know. I think that we close our eyes sometimes, even, you know, like we don't want to see. We're so afraid that we, like Peter, we run away, right? You know, and we're not looking for him. But he tells them, don't be afraid. You know, he said to them, it is I, don't be afraid. So even in our darkness, he's there.
Right. And you would think, though, that they wouldn't have, or they wouldn't have, by seeing him, you would have thought that they would know it's him, because just right before that, he did, you know, the bread, and he fed 5,000 people. So even sometimes when people see those blessings, they still don't believe, though, you know?
Right. And I love that about the disciples, because even after sign, after sign, after sign, they still have a lot of questions. They still, you know, are afraid. They still doubt. They still sometimes are confused, you know, with the things that Jesus is explaining to them and telling them, but because it is a lot, you know, that's all like I can say. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. That's like, it is a lot. Yeah. Like it's overwhelming, you know, as he starts to lift that veil, it's beautiful and it's great and you believe it, but then you kind of, you know, get scared and you kind of, you know, take a step back because it's unbelievable, really.
And so that's kind of where I can see now where he says he won't reveal everything at once. It has to be in increments, you know, because can you imagine if
that's a good point,
did everything at one time, it would be an overwhelming and we probably would run the other way.
No, that's true.
Or run ahead of him.
Until we are ready, you know, he reveals little by little and as we become ready. So that's why. And then what we're going to read here and the scriptures too, is that it's on his timing. It has to be at the right time. And only he knows when it's the right time.
And I think that makes sense too. Now that we're talking about it, because it's like the right time for us to accept it, you know?
Right.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, and another thing too on the this, you know, in these signs, Jesus is slowly revealing the character, you know, God's character in each of these signs, you know, where he's you know, not to be afraid of him, you know, and where he's very generous when he feeds the 5,000. Mm-hmm. And what surprisingly too is how Philip didn't, his first reaction wasn't to like, well, you're Jesus, can't you feed the, you know, like, can't it, his right away, right. He reacts with the earthly solution, you know? So, and we do that too, you know? So.
Well, and then maybe that's why he said, you know what, let me scare them and get on the water and have them.
Oh, and show them.
And show them who, just exactly who I am. Like,
yeah. Know? So what that, you know right. what, that's like, true.
It shows because me that you guys don't know me.
You still don't see.
Let me show you. Because yeah. can you imagine like, seeing somebody like, we know you. Yeah, yeah. You talk and yeah, yeah. You perform these miracles, but. That's one level.
But then really, how powerful are you?
Yeah, right? Like him walking on water, like mm-hmm. in the middle of the night and seeing like, you know, like.
And in total darkness, because I've been, you know, we've been to where there's no light when we were in Mexico at the ranch. And at nighttime when like it's dark, nothing. When you don't have no light, anything. You that's can barely okay. see right in front of you. You yeah. know? So I can only, yeah. like, that's pretty scary.
Like I was, he had some type of glow on him, right? Or did they flash?
Well, it doesn't
like
say that. Man. It just shows that they see a man maybe walking towards them like and the, that it says it is I. So maybe with the moon, like the movement, moonlight or the natural yeah. light that they see him, you know, walking up.
Walking but, up, yeah.
Like, but then on water, so you're kind of
like, where did you come from? Exactly. You're not on the boat, you're on the water.
Yes. And then, but as soon as they realized it was him, they willingly welcomed him aboard.
So yeah,
as soon as they recognize him, they're right. like,
but okay, that just
okay.
Shows,
you can I mean, come into the boat.
Yeah. Well, they walked with him. They walked with him every day, but it still shows that even though they knew him, they couldn't they even recognize him. Though yeah. you know, so
right.
It's. I mean, again, that's like us too.
Well, and I think that's like, us too because we can say like, okay, yeah. I believe, you know, God. Okay, I believe Jesus. Yes. I believe I'm yes. good. I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna do that. And da 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 da. And then all of a sudden, it's like, whoa, wait a minute, what's happening?
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly.
Yep.
Okay, so the bread of life. You know, the next day, the crowd that had stayed on the other side of the sea saw that there had been only one boat. They also saw that Jesus had not boarded the boat with his disciples, but that his disciples had gone off alone. Some boats from Tiberias came near the place where they had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. When the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they got into the boats and went to Capernaum looking for Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered, "Truly I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw the signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. Don't work for the food that perishes, but for the food that lasts for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal of approval on him." So here he's telling them, you know, and they go and they're like, how did you get here? You know, because he didn't get in the boat with the disciples. And so, but he doesn't answer that question. Right. And he doesn't answer that question, but instead tells them why they showed up. He tells them, "You came here not because of who I told you that I am, but because of the things that I am doing and the signs that you are seeing. And because I," you know, he fed them and they got their physical fulfillment, you know, like they were fed. So even after all the things that he's doing and he's showing them, like, their hearts are still not in the right place, you know. So and they go through all that trouble to go see him across the sea that he's telling them, like, "You're doing all this work to come and see me, but for the wrong reasons." You know, right. you're looking for me, but for the wrong reasons. And look at all the work you're putting into that when I'm this and it's can be so much easier.
Right. And I when I was reading it earlier for our podcast, I underlined where he says, "Don't work for food that perishes, but for the food that lasts for eternal life." So it's, I don't know, correct me if I'm wrong. Like, is he talking about, you know, we can do things the right way, we can live a good life, but that's not going to really get us to Jesus. Like, we have to
right.
give ourselves to Jesus. We have to, because it's not the good works.
Right. It's not the works that we do. It's the you're right. No, you're right. You're right. Okay. It's not that, because remember, you could be going to church every Sunday and your heart's not in the right place, yeah. you know, and you don't really truly believe. So it's not, and you could be going and doing ministry and doing, you know, all these things at church, spending all your time at church, but you're not your faith is not where it should be. You know, your spiritual life is not where it should be. So you're doing the works, but your heart and your mind are not where they should be.
And this goes back to our podcast about the Bible that Nina, you were talking about, because I've read this gospel already twice, and reading it now for the third time, you know, the chapters, then it came to me because I just passed through it. Like I read it and just kind of went through it, but reading it, I was like, wait a minute. Like it stood out to me. Uh-huh. So it just goes to show, like, you're not, sometimes you're not going to get it right then and there, you know?
Right. No, right.
Give me three times.
Well, yeah. And it's like, every time I read it, it's like I'm reading it for the first time because something else will stand out, you know?
Exactly. Yeah.
And so then that's where they say that, you know, God speaks through his scripture. So maybe he wasn't speaking to you then, and now he's speaking to you, you know, for whatever's happening in your life. And you just happen to be in John. So it relates to whatever's happening with you right now.
Yeah.
So then, and then they're reminded of Moses. When Moses fed Israel with manna in the wilderness. So Jesus says to them, truly, I tell you, Moses didn't give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the one who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Then they said, sir, give us this bread always. I am the bread of life, Jesus told them. No one who comes to me will ever be hungry, and no one who believes in me will ever be thirsty again. But as I told you, you've seen me, and yet you do not believe. Everyone the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me, I will never cast out. So even though, like, he already knew who was believing in him and who wasn't, you know? And so he tells them, I will not cast you out. Whoever comes to me, I will not cast you out. And so then he's promising them there that he's not gonna let them go again, you know, that you can trust in him, that you can trust in his safety, you can trust in his truth, you know, because he has the seal. And that seal is a guarantee. And I was surprised to see that again, too, that the seal of God, because that I think that's in there a couple of times. Is it in the Moses one, too, the seal? I think that the seal is in scripture, too, a few times.
I know it's in Revelation, right?
Right, in Revelation. There you go. Yes, yes. So, and, you know, and he's trying to tell them that that you're coming to me, you're seeing these signs, but, you know, to fill your stomachs, and you want an earthly king, because then as he's doing these signs, they're like, you should be our king. Now they're looking for him to be, you know, for him to be their earthly king. But he's like, you know, you're not believing in me. You're not looking for your spiritual fulfillment and eternal life. They're not thinking about that part. They're just thinking about the physical stuff and having a physical king. And then that goes back to David again, you know, where they were asking for they didn't want a God they couldn't see. They wanted somebody that they could see, a king that would. So here we are again, still with the same, you know, in that same cycle. And it's like, man, we are hard headed. We are. What is it? Stiff neck.
Stiff neck.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay. So, so let's keep going. Then on the bread of life, was there anything else? Yvette, there's so much here.
There is so much. You know, there was one, and I was trying to find it so I can read it to you so I can get your take on it. But it was where it says how they were like, how does he want us to eat his flesh and drink his blood? Do you remember that?
Yes. Because they're having a hard time, they're like saying, well, how does that make? And even the disciples are like, we don't understand this. Like, this is too hard. Like, your words are too hard. We don't understand this. So, and even then, I can remember not understanding that too, you know, but he's saying that what he's meaning is when you receive Christ, that is like eating the bread, you know, you're receiving Christ. So you're eating the bread. So once you receive Christ, then you are then, you know, safe in him, and he will not, you know, he will receive you, and he promises to not lose you. And it's God's will. He's following God's will, not his own, and that right. It's who God sends to them. And I know that Yvette, we've pointed that out before on one of our earlier scriptures too. Right. You know, and a lot of times we think we're leading our relationship with God, but we're not. You know, it's He calls us, He draws us out. So all right. Those who belong to God, you know, are taught by God. And that's like us. I feel like that was like, that's true. That's us. You know, he drew us out, you know, and he used our marriages to draw us out. Right. And what we've learned and what we're learning still is taught by him through scripture, you know?
Right. And I think too, from even the beginning, he already knew he was going to call us out, you know, like he already right. knew, okay, this, I got these three women here again with that number three, right? These three women here at this time in, you know, in on earthly time, he'll be calling us to put us to his work, you know?
Right. Yes. Yes. And even after, you know, after he was saying that about eating his flesh and mm-hmm. you know,
and drink
and drink his blood, many of the disciples deserted him, you know? Therefore, when many of his disciples heard this, they said, "This teaching is hard. Who can accept it?" Jesus, right. knowing in himself that his disciples were complaining about this, asked him, "Does this offend you? Then what if you were to observe the Son of Man ascending to where he was before?" So if they were already rejecting him, you know, after seeing the signs and seeing all the things that he had done, then yeah, what would they say about his, you know, his ascending? So why would you believe right. anything else, you know, if he showed you anything else? Because exactly. they were already rejecting what he was saying.
But like you said, I think he already knew who was gonna turn their backs on him, you know.
Right. No, he, and it says in here too that he mm-hmm. that he does already know, because he knew who would reject him. And who he already knew about Judas.
Right.
Okay, so I'm going to jump to chapter 7. The unbelief of Jesus' brothers. After this, Jesus traveled in Galilee, since he did not want to travel in Judea because the Jews were trying to kill him. The Jewish festival of shelters was near. So his brothers said to him, "Leave here and go to Judea so your disciples can see your works that you are doing. For no one does anything in secret while he's seeking public recognition. If you do these things, show yourself to the world." For not even his brothers believed him. So they were telling him, his brothers were telling his, like real brothers were telling him, you know, well, if you're who you say you are, well, then go to Judea and go, you know, like on a bigger platform and go do your signs and all that stuff so you can be recognized by everybody. They were like being sarcastic, like, well, go, you know, go perform over there in Judea where everybody can see you and da 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 da. But I was like his brothers, because, you know, these were his brothers that who, assuming, I guess, they married, got remarried and he grew up with. So I wonder, like, they didn't know, like, that he did, you know, because I would think that Mary already knew, you know, who he was and that he could do certain signs. So I don't know. That
yeah, Mary knew. There.
So, like,
they didn't. She kind of didn't believe at first either, because I thought I read, and I don't know which gospel it was, that his siblings and even his mom didn't believe, I guess.
I think because imagine the angel coming to you saying you go through all that and you have the baby and you have these kings, you know, that come and give you stuff. But then I think maybe God went a little silent, you know,
maybe and then came back and said, oh, okay, it's time.
And so you kind of forget. It's like, okay, well, maybe just a miracle was his birth, you know.
Oh, that's and true.
God probably didn't tell Mary. Like, yeah, that's a lot.
That detail.
Well, yeah, he doesn't know. Right.
You know?
Yeah.
You're going to hide him.
Because she didn't understand. Because she was just hearing. I think when he was teaching the disciples, she was just learning a lot of that for the first time, too.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So So I think she knew he was special, but didn't know exactly what his purpose was. She's just special, you know.
Right, yeah. Because he does say the next paragraph, he says, it says, Jesus told him, my time has not yet arrived, but your time is always at hand. The world cannot hate you, but it does hate me because I testify about it, that its works are evil. So that's when he starts talking about, it's not my time yet. Mm-hmm. So, and he tells them, like, your time is now, because they're, you know, it's like your time is, you have all the time, you know, like your time is now, you could do whatever at this time, but you're not going to do it, you know? So, but his time had not come yet because he was there to do the will of God.
But, you know, I'm almost thinking, like, when he tells his brothers, this is your time, it could be, this is your time to do the right things.
Yeah.
Right. And they weren't going to do it because they didn't even believe who he was. So, right. Which is like,
no, and they were probably jealous of him. And, you know,
maybe like Joseph, remember like Joseph and his brother. So
they're like, you know, yeah, go over there. Go talk, whatever. They didn't sound supportive. No. Like, imagine if Lauren was over here preaching and saying all this stuff. It's like, okay, well, Lauren, go for it if you want to go.
Go for it, girl.
I'll stand there, but if the Romans come looking for you, bye.
Right? Go for it, girl. But, you know, they start throwing rocks at you.
I'll be in the way back.
But, I mean, two of his brothers do have a book in the New Testament, so they definitely changed
their mindset. Well, after everything they said.
Yeah, it was after, the resurrection.
Yeah.
Outside of, you know, stepping in. Yeah. Believe now. You remember me.
And to the people, the people wanted him to, you know, the people would complain too, because they wanted him to appear or present himself like they wanted, you know, and when they wanted, like, well, do it this way. Cause they expected him to walk in into that festival. Like, I guess when people were like, if the ones that had money, like a lot of people would go, like they would have like a
celebrity, red carpet.
You're right, like a celebrity. Yeah. So a lot of people expected him to come in that way. Mm-hmm. And he didn't. He went in secret. So, you know, and then they expected him to do like a big show and all that. And he was, it didn't happen anything like they thought. Right. Yeah. So,
and he probably was, so
they would complain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you're embarrassing me, Lauren. So, no, you're not going to go. You're going to go in there all dirty on a donkey.
I thought you said you could do all this stuff.
At least like a horse, Lauren.
No, I want a donkey.
And I mean, yeah.
No, that's not the purpose. It's like, you're embarrassing mom, okay?
Yeah. Where they wanted this.
Well, can you imagine? Like, it's just so, that just goes to show where our mind frame is. That we're his own family. So far gone. And exactly his own family and the people, and where, you know,
but man, if you
where
think
it's so hard to believe.
Back then, it was sad. All about the looks.
Yeah.
Even then.
To be dressed to the nines to be accepted, you know? So back then too.
Yeah.
Yes.
And he wasn't. That's what they wanted. Like you said, they wanted him to come as the king, you know.
And mm-hmm. showing them even back then, you know, money isn't everything. It's not.
It's not about that. So Jesus, let's see. Jesus starts, he starts answering their objections, because the religious leaders start asking, because Jesus starts preaching, he's at the festival, and he starts talking to them, and he's very bold in his ministry. You know, he's not afraid, and he's speaking the truth, and nobody's telling him that he's wrong. And I can see that, because, you know, he's speaking the truth, and he's telling them how their ways are wrong, how their ways are evil. And I could see, you know, where nobody's saying anything, because it's kind of like, oh, yeah, well, what he's saying is true. So nobody really wants to
debate that. Yeah.
Right. And so,
no one's agreeing with him or being supportive, right?
Nobody's being supportive, but then I think everybody's kind of afraid to say anything too, because they're like, well, he's right. Like, what else can he say, you know?
Right.
Or what else does he know? And so the religious leaders start asking, well, how does he know these things? If he'd never studied, if he never read a scripture, then how does he know these things? But Jesus says that it's my doctrine, and it's not mine. It's his who sent me. So his teaching comes from, he points back to God. His teaching comes from God, and it's from the old, his doctrine, the Old Testament. So
right.
Those religious leaders already knew it. They knew it from the Old Testament, you know, but because Jesus wasn't like somebody who, you know, they saw was brought up through whatever their process was to be educated or to become a priest or any of that. They're like, how does he know this? Because they knew who he was and where he grew up and all of that stuff. So they're like, right. Where did this come from? How does he know this? So he points them back to God. And I thought that was a good discernment, you know, thing to remember, because he draws attention. He says it in that way because he's drawing attention to the difference between the instruction of man versus the instruction from God.
Oh, you know? Yeah.
Yep. And so that's a good discernment tool, you know, when we're looking for guidance, yeah. You know, for biblical guidance or teaching, that, you know, are they from God, you know, because Jesus pointed back to God. He gave all the glory to God. So is that teacher, you know, pointing back to God, and is what they're saying from scripture, because is it true?
Right.
And so I was like, man, that's a good one that to remember. Good. Yeah.
Yeah.
And is that teacher giving all the glory to God? So, and another thing.
Well, and he didn't say at that moment, he didn't say, this is coming from my father. He says, this is coming from the one who sent me, right? He doesn't
right.
say it's his
right.
father.
Saying, this is coming right. from the one who sent me. Yes.
Yeah. Like yes. more authority.
Right. From God. Yeah. Cause he's, yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he makes it clear too.
He makes it very clear, and he's very yeah. bold. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because he says, I come and I speak from the one. He's not saying like, well, I'm talking for myself, you know, like. The
right.
Pharisees. Yeah.
Yes. And so then, and he tells them too, you know, y'all know the law, y'all have the law, but y'all don't keep it. Mm-mm. And so, and he tells them, he reminds them about that, where the Old Testament, where it says that, that the one that's to come is sinless, and that the one is to come is sinless, and that he is full of righteousness. And so he's telling them, why are you trying to kill me? If in the Old Testament it tells you that the one that's going to come is going to be sinless. So he's saying like, hey, that's me, what the Old Testament said, it's that it's me. It's pointing back to me, and y'all know this. And so he's calling them out on it, and they're still not. So it's just making them more angry.
Yeah.
And then he tells them too, like, you allow, you know, circumcision on the Sabbath, but not healing, because they would do the you know, decisions right. on the Sabbath day, you know, where they had to cut the flesh. And but then they got mad at him when he did a healing on the Sabbath. So it's like, you allow, you know, that, but you don't allow me to heal. So again, he's calling them all out. So I can only imagine what that crowd was like. And as he's speaking, yeah. because man, he's calling them out on all.
And you know,
things.
I'm sure what made them even more mad is because I'm sure he was so even tempered. And so his voice probably wasn't like, get raising, like, you know,
right,
like, you know how when you're mad and you're accusing, your voice gets all
calm and collected.
Was calm, cool, collected. Yeah. And it probably made them more mad, you know, because yeah, when you're stating the facts, you are cool, calm, and collected. Mm-hmm. You have nothing to argue with.
And I can see where they would be afraid to say anything, because, you know, like when somebody's saying the truth about somebody and, you know, calling them out, and there is like, you better be careful what you say, because, you know, he knows what he's saying.
Right.
So I
know it's true.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. No, that's true.
And then
I said, know the scriptures, know the Bible, because then, you know, that's how you can fight, you know, the enemy, or that's how you can fight someone who's coming against you, you know,
right?
If you already know,
right? And then you know who's from God. Yeah, that what's from yeah. God and what's not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. and stay calm and collected, but that's the hard one because we're human and so we have our flesh.
Yeah, that's where that worldly flesh comes in.
Yep,
that's the tough
part. You gotta work on that one.
Yeah.
So then again they try to arrest them, but they're not able to, and again that just points out that until the right time that no one can lay a hand on him, you know, and that tells us again that God is in control. God is in control, even when, you know, things seem way out of control, and that, you know, God is in control, and why it's important to be still and seek him, you know?
Yeah.
Even in the dark.
Even in the dark, yeah.
And many believed in him. You know, the people were divided over this, because you did have some people that believed in him, but then you had those that didn't, right? So, but there were some that did believe in him. And then one of the things that the people asked were, when the Christ comes, will he do more signs? And I just thought that was funny, because it's like, well, what more do you need to see? You know, like, what more? Like,
wait, man, that they asked right there while he finished preaching?
Yeah, because they're like, well, is this him, or is there going to be another one that's going to do more signs? You know, and it's like, what more do you need to see? Like, that's, I just,
well,
don't,
I mean,
like,
you gotta get, I mean, we were there, we're probably saying, okay, is it just you? Do you have any brothers and sisters?
Well, wait a minute, can you do this?
Hard, because
God coming, is your dad coming, you know?
You know, one thing that about signs and stuff, because back then, before my eyes were open, you know, when things happen, you're like, man, what a coincidence, right? Like, oh,
well, exactly. Wow, okay,
well, I was lucky on there.
Yes.
But
the lucky part, right?
I'm like, I ain't lucky. I'm blessed. And look at God working over here.
God,
Like then it was true. Like,
wow. Yes, because before you're saying, oh, coincidence, but what now it is going to God.
I say, with God, there's no coincidence.
There is no coincidence, and there is no luck,
right?
Blessed or you're cursed.
No luck.
Exactly. And then he tells him that he's leaving, you know, that he's leaving. So then the people still don't understand. They're like, well, wait a minute, where are you going?
Come back.
So they don't understand that part either, and I can see that, because it is kind of,
it is a lot,
and then trying to understand it, and it's just like, man, it makes me wonder, like, if I, you know, that's when Jesus was there in person, because I felt like that here now when I went through mine. So I can only, and you think like, well, they had Jesus with them there, but no, they were like, it's the exact same thing, even with him there. And I think us too, because sometimes even when we see the huge signs, these big signs, we're still kind of like, well, wait a minute.
Was it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Was that it? No, you're not saying that. Yeah. No, Jesus. No, you're not saying that.
But
you know what, with Mary, it was different. I mean, that was the angel. But maybe it's the way, maybe because he looked like us.
Well, because they knew him. He was a man, and then they knew him. You know, like he grew up with him. Yeah, they knew him. But so it's kind of like, well, wait a minute. You know,
it's not what they pictured. You know.
Yes.
Is that what you pictured? Like what they say is not how you think it's gonna be. You know. Like, you know, and even like if we know now the second coming of when he comes back, we have this scripture, but
now we know what
it's
going to
be different, right? You know, it's going to be different, you know, because they might have.
Well, it's not going to be, I think it still wouldn't be what we expect, you know,
it's not. I mean, because even back then, yes, they didn't have Jesus yet, but God did his works through men. Okay. So like Moses, we talked about Moses with the staff turns into a snake. Like, hello, look at all this that they're seeing. And they still was like, no, I need something physical. Okay. Yeah. God sends his son. He's in human. Yeah. He's, you know, you can touch him. And they still was like,
they say, no, okay now you more. Stay with us. Stay with us.
Yeah.
We know you're resurrected. Okay. Now you stay with us. And he's like, no,
But you know,
the way it's gonna work.
We're believers. We're you know, we trust in him. But if he just showed up at my house, like the doorbell just rang. Sorry. What if it was him? Like, what would I do? Right? Like,
hey y'all, I gotta go. Right. Jesus is here.
I'm here. Well, you know, like, it's so neat with the Chosen. We've talked about the Chosen in that series, you know?
Yeah.
So that's kind of, I think, a glimpse of an idea of what it would be like a normal guy, you know, man showing up, like you said, and said, okay, follow me. Follow me, Yvette.
Yes.
What are you going to do? I'm like, okay.
Peace out. Well, can I pick up my girls first?
I know. Like, can you show me some ID, right? Like, can you show me some ID?
No, but that is the truth, you know.
Yeah, I think
we still wouldn't believe. Yeah. We could be here talking all this, and then we get, like you said, the doorbell rings, and it's like, it's Jesus.
Why need proof?
Like,
she's gonna text me a picture.
Let me show you a picture.
What do you think?
Does he look like the guy I chosen?
Who was it? Was it Thomas that said he needed to
see the holes in it?
I can relate to Thomas because,
totally.
I mean,
yes.
Can we see your hand? You know, please.
So I'd be like, I need to see your ID. I need to see your two hands, your feet, and the side.
Yes.
You know?
I mean, I love you. I believe, but what is it?
Yeah.
What is that? What is the scripture? Help my unbelief, you know.
So
I believe help my unbelief. Yeah.
So it is easy to relate to them, you know, how they work.
That's what we have to remember. It's like, don't.
So that's why it's important to learn the scripture, to learn the Bible, so that you don't feel like, wait a minute, is it him or is it not him? Because at least you have an idea of what you're looking for, you know, and
exactly.
So, and that's why, and until you read it for yourself and you go on that journey, then I think then it would be easier to recognize him, you know?
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah. Because, you know, I think we would know him, you know?
Yeah.
We might.
At least we hope we wouldn't get scared, right? And like,
and
say, okay, get in the boat, Jesus. We wouldn't say, start pedaling fast. There's a man in the water.
Get to the other side.
Get the motor running.
Well, it's kind of like that. But
he's on the water. He's walking. Okay. He's Jesus.
But you know what? I don't think we would be scared. And I think that would be our, you know, because like what we say, wait a minute, you know, I think we've gotten to where we can say, you know, we weren't scared. So that's from him, to where when we do feel really scared and we're able to discern, you know, that's from the enemy, because that has been a huge, tool for me,
right? We always say, you know, well, how did that make you feel? Because it's not, Jesus doesn't instill, you know, fear,
right? And we see that in the scripture, how he's very calm, he's very collective, and he tells them, like, I'm not going to reject you, you know, and how he shows the character that he's generous, and how he's, you know, approaches the people and the woman at the well and all that, you know. He doesn't come accusing you, he doesn't come, you know, pointing out, you know, things that are going to scare you away. He's he wants to draw you to near. Him. So.
Yep. And that's what I said. He's the same yesterday, today, and then tomorrow. Right.
Yeah. Right. Yep. Yeah,
exactly.
Okay. And so real quick, the promise of the Spirit. On the last and most important day of the festival, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. The one who believes in me, as the scripture has said, will have streams of living water flow from deep within him." He said this about the Spirit. Those who believed in Jesus were going to receive the Spirit, for the Spirit had not yet been given because Jesus had not yet been glorified. So from here, he's trying to separate the flesh with the Spirit. You know, we talked about that a little bit, where he's saying they haven't received the Spirit, because he's trying to point out that we have to wake up that part in our lives, you know, and we're so deep in sin that we don't even acknowledge we have that spiritual life, you know, until something happens and you're on your journey and, you know, and you start learning. But at least I didn't. And so here is where he's telling them about that. But again, they don't understand, you know, what he's talking about. So, and then this, this wasn't the spirit, they wouldn't receive, remember, they don't receive the Holy Spirit until after the resurrection. So, and that is the there was a quote by Morris, and I don't have a first name for Morris, but there was a quote that I read, and I was like, man, that is so true, because he interprets this as, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. So, and I think that is so true, that when you're born again and when you receive the Holy Spirit, and you're, you know, baptized through Jesus, when you come to Jesus and you accept Jesus as your Savior, that's what brings you joy, and that's what brings you peace. You know, and it is in a form of the way he describes the water, like it's so powerful, and it's in abundance, and it's a fountain, like it's just that you just want to tell everybody about it, right. You know, because right. it is that great, you know. So yes. that was new to me.
I like that.
So then Nicodemus, the debate over Jesus' claim. So then Nicodemus tries to persuade the you know, we talked about Nicodemus before, where he went to Jesus. Right. And then here he sees how the religious leaders are still rejecting him. And he tries to convince them that not to judge Jesus yet, you know, and but they're still saying that, you know, he's from Galilee. What good can come from Galilee, you know? And I can see where we do that now too, you know, where we say like, well, nothing good can come from there, you know, or if we know, like, we know how those people are, or we, you know, that's a lot like, that we see in the world today, you know, like nothing good can come from there, or that person, you know, where we judge, where we're quick to judge. So,
or we give up on somebody and we're,
or,
like,
yeah,
they're never going to get better. You know, they're going to continue drinking, then continue right. doing, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. And we give up.
Right.
Right. And they were, and you know what too, that they were wrong about that when they say nothing good comes from Galilee, and that, because that's where Jonah was from, and I think Elijah too, that they were from Galilee. So they're rejecting, a lot of the people were rejecting, they had their facts all wrong, and they were rejecting Jesus, like not even having their facts straight.
Well, they were probably not. Was this the Pharisees, or this was just general people?
Well, the religious, it's the religious leaders, you know, the ones that thought they.
So they probably forgot. So. I mean, they probably were just paying attention. Like, again, they're following rituals more than they were.
Right. Well, they were following, right. And then, yeah. You know, you get caught up in all that. And then yeah. You start, you know, if you're not careful, then you start behaving like them, you know, and believing what they, whatever they believe. And so they right. didn't even have their facts straight. And I think that's the good. Yeah, the teachings. And then if those that reject Jesus, like, do you know why you're rejecting Jesus? Like, I guess if I ask somebody, like, well, why are you rejecting them? Like, what is their real reason for rejecting Jesus? Or are they just
turn to him?
Yeah. Right. Like, or is it just because sometimes we can learn more from the question than from the answer. You know, because some people are quick to say, like, well, I don't believe in Jesus, or, well, you know, this Jesus never really did nothing for me. But like, if they really looked at that reason, like, does it justify what they're feeling, you know, what they're doing?
What they're saying. Yeah.
Yeah.
And many times they're just hurt people that, you know, maybe
have given up or don't have hope.
They believed in God, and God protected yeah. them, you know, through whatever. Yeah. It didn't turn out the way they thought, and so they just gave up on Jesus. Yeah, they gave up on God. Yeah.
But what we learn later on is, you know, he allowed it for a reason, you know,
right.
And now I think back, like, man, you know, he allowed it because maybe at that moment he was calling us, and then we missed that part, you know, we missed that calling for us mm-hmm. to go to him and say, fix this or help me get me out of it or, you know, keep me safe in this particular situation, you know?
Or two, like if they, are you rejecting him because something he didn't do for you or because he didn't do for somebody else? Like, are you going, you know, like, is it, it, you know, like, I think like to really ask yourself if you're, if you have that, that doubt, or if you have that, you know, if you don't want to come to him or you don't believe, why, what is that real, the real reason behind that, you know, that you don't.
Right.
Yeah. And they don't know him. I said a lot the other day.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And why are you, because it's kind of like, I guess I'm thinking like, well, okay, why don't you give it a chance? Right. Why don't you give it a chance? And what do you have to, again, what do you have to lose? You know, it's to give him a chance because he's asking you to come
and trust him
you know, and he's making these promises, and what have you fully, you know, have you really given him that chance?
Mm-hmm. Right. And there's so many people that won't or haven't, mm-hmm. or they have and then they get caught up again and they lose sight of him.
Well, and they don't want to be disappointed.
You know? That too, yeah. They don't want to be just, yeah, that's a good point.
And because that's a big figure to be disappointed in, because that's your last hope. And right. I don't want you to disappoint me, you know, Jesus.
Yeah.
That's so true. Yeah.
But he won't disappoint. You know, it might not be the way you think
it's going
to, you know, you wanted it to go, but he will never disappoint.
It won't be easy. You won't be disappointed. Even though at times I think too, like, where's the end of the tunnel? But I think, you know, there is really not an end of a tunnel, but you just get stronger and more confident in him, and your faith grows stronger in him
as you grow.
It's going to go a lot smoother than.
And letting go the way you think it's going to turn out.
Right.
And I think if you're there where you're like, no, because I read this, or no, because of that, or no, because I believe this, or no, because of that. I think bring all that to Jesus and see what he tells you about all that, you know, like give him, don't judge him if you don't know him.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's good. Yep. Exactly.
Yeah.
But that's all I have, ladies.
Yep. Yeah. Well,
that was great.
It's a lot of information.
A lot good of information. I love John. Yeah, the Gospel of John is really, it's different from the other three, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yvette, do you have a scripture for us?
I do. John chapter 17, verses 20 and 21. I pray not only for these, but also for those who believe in me through their word. May they all be one as you, Father, are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us so that the world may believe you sent me. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next week.